Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are talking about divine guidance. What do we mean by divine guidance? Divine guidance is the sovereign interference of God in the personal life and experience of all of creation, past, present, and future. The concept is that all things were created by God, come from Him, go through Him, and are controlled by Him. There are no accidents. There are no circumstances out of His control. That He is God, and that there are no competitors. There's nothing that can keep Him from getting what He wants. Now, we've talked before, and we'll continue to talk about this whole concept of free will. And bottom line is that you and I do not yet have a free will. Instead, until we are complete and perfect, spirit, soul, and body, our will is not free. It's in bondage to our flesh and our wounds and our believing lies and our enemies. Until that happens, until our will has been set free, it is not a free will. So this notion of God holding us accountable for the choices we make when we are limited in our choices by our condition, whether God reveals Himself to us or not, our wounds, so many different things keep us from being able to make good decisions, good choices. This doctrine is instead used to explain and further manipulate people who want to know God but can't understand why God does the things He does. For instance, we have this idea that God does good things, but He doesn't do evil, even though it's very clear that He does all things. And we won't get too far down that road, but everything comes from God. He created evil just as He created good, and He created the knowledge of them and presents that knowledge to us as well. And part of our process is to develop judgment to be able to distinguish between the two. God is not good. God is God. God is everything. And to say God is good, then somebody else must be evil. And we all go to, okay, well, the devil is evil. Well, then we are raising the devil up to the same height as God. And God created the devil, so they cannot be equal. God has no other equivalent. God is the totality of His essence, and there is no, He doesn't have an evil twin. that's out there doing bad stuff and he's doing the good stuff. Instead, he uses both his right hand and his left hand in forming us and every circumstance in our life. Now, does that mean that we don't resist evil? We don't deal with evil? Absolutely. But we understand that evil is in our life. God could take it out just like that. But evil and bad and unpleasant all happen in our lives so that we will learn how to deal with it. Appropriate to take authority over it, to resist it. Just develop our own judgment about it. Likewise for good, to be able to evaluate which is good. These neither good nor evil are the same thing as knowing God. God is a person, and we can experience him, and we are to experience him personally, relationally, and in the process, we learn about good and evil. So this whole idea of valuing the will out of proportion, we may need to work through that individually until we get to that understanding that God does not value your will any more than he values your mind, any more than he values your emotions. They are all valuable to him, but they are not you. They are part of your temperament, your character, your soul, your individuality. But you, essentially, each one of us is a spirit being. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. God created us with a spirit being, a spirit, so we can know him by the spirit. According to spirit, spirit senses, spirit understanding. Now, there's two kinds of spirit beings. There's dead spirit beings and living spirit beings. And until you've been enlivened by God, that's the work Jesus did 2,000 years ago, was to make us able to be enlivened in our spirit. Born again spiritually, so that now we participate in spirit life. But that doesn't change automatically either our soul or our body. And in our soul, we have our mind, our will, and our emotions. And just as we don't determine our state of being, and especially a quote-unquote eternal life, eternal heaven, eternal hell, based on, we don't determine that on our emotions, we don't determine that based on our mind, why do we determine that based on our will, that we reject God or we choose God? When we really look at it, it doesn't stand up to scrutiny. And yet, many of us, myself included, believed that for many long years, that, you know, predestination, preordination, that God knew who was going to choose him. And so those were his little honeys. And we could get off into the reconciliation of all things. Maybe we will sometime. But just understand that everything comes from God. Everything is in God, and everything will always be in God. There is nothing outside of God. Now, there may be some place of judgment, some place of torment, some place of correction. We don't know. He doesn't tell us. Part of what we are looking to understand is the whole concept of eternity, Eternity and time are two totally different things. Eternity is not just more time. Time was created for this earth existence. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Eternity, eternal, is a quality of spirit that is not bound by time. This is why when you receive eternal life, you receive at that moment a new past, a new present, and a new future, because you become a new being, a new creation, a spirit being. You receive the same qualities that God has. And how do we receive that eternal life? We know Christ. We experience salvation, change, rebirth. We acknowledge that without Him making a way, paying those debts, we cannot be re-spirited on our own. We can only do it through the way that He made. But when we do that, it is done. It is finished. So we begin to look at what God is doing in each one of us, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions, to expose lies that we've believed, heal those wounds, remove our flesh, all for the purpose of becoming one, spirit, soul, and body. So as we move forward talking about divine guidance, we're trying to address a common approach or need that Christians have in this desire to please God, which is a whole other topic. We want to know we're in the will of God for a variety of reasons. If we're doing the right thing, then everything will go well. At least that's what we're told. If we're in the will of God, then we'll please Him. Or so we're told. It's as if He has a will. And we could, maybe you've been taught, as I have, the difference between a perfect will and a permissive will. Well, God is. There is no shadow of turning. There is a way He is doing things. And the way things are going is exactly the way He wants them. He's not going, whoops, I didn't see that coming. Dang, how'd that sneak in there? Wow, that person really made the wrong choice there. What am I going to do about that? That's not Him. And when we get caught trying to explain how that works, we have made the mistake of misunderstanding the nature of God. His ways are not our soulical ways. We are trying to explain a mysterious, He wants us to know Him, but right now we don't. We're trying to explain the unexplainable with words that and our understanding that can barely touch the hem of His garment. Now, He wants us to know Him on that term, as he is. He wants us to know Him as He is now. But to do that, we have to acknowledge that we don't know Him as He is now. And part of the process and impetus to looking at divine guidance is acknowledging that one of the ways God gets our attention involves seeking divine guidance. So on the one hand, we acknowledge that this whole idea of being in God's will and making the right choice may not exactly be what God's intent is, but also at the same time, we understand that God uses what's important to us to get our attention. And he uses the whole idea of us wanting to know, are we on the right track? Are we making the right decisions? He uses that, just as in other areas of our lives, to get our attention and draw us to him. The importance is not that we make the right decision. Honestly, in most cases, the decision you make is the right decision. If you can say, I sought the Lord. I gave him an opportunity, and we're going to talk about how to do this. I gave him an opportunity to direct me. I did the research. I did my part. God did his part. I'm ready to make a decision. And then make the decision. So again, divine guidance is acknowledging the sovereign interference of God in the personal life and experience of all of his creation, which is all creation, past, present, and future. As a believer, your spirit already in full participation, not just knowledge of, but participation with the full will of God. And therefore, your spirit has the confidence and assurance of the loving kindness of God toward you specifically, so that when it comes right down to it, who you truly are, a spirit being, does not need guidance. Your spirit already has all the information it needs for any decision, for any change, for any judgment calls. Your spirit already has full knowledge, understanding, and embraces that. Your spirit doesn't need guidance. But it is our soul and our body that react to those unknown circumstances that we run into trouble, especially our lack of control over the unknown. This is really where we get anxious and afraid and uncertain, is we don't know how to handle the unknown. Even though our spirit, there's no such thing as the unknown. Our soul and our body often feel like we're on our own. And God, instead of saying, well, this is what you need to do to fix that, or this is what you need to do to fix this, be in my will of God, be in my will, do this, make this decision, you need to repent, you need to worship more, you need to do this, that, or the other thing. No. We're always coming back to, Lord, what are we doing here? What is your truth here? What are you saying here? It always comes back to, Lord, is that you? Our communication with him in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, tapping into the understanding and experience that we are enjoying in our spirit right now. through dependence, our goal is that our will become free from the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil, so it can be submitted to the will of God. Over time, our purpose and desire line up with the purpose and desire of God in our soul. And we more and more become willing participants in expressing his nature as giver to the world around us as he chooses. The more we desire divine guidance and are drawn to engage in the will of God, the more our own desires and will are submitted and engulfed by our new spirit nature. Now, when we talk about the will of God in this kind of context, it's simply that he has a plan. He is eternally creative, and he wants to share that creativity with us. And he wants us to experience that creativity. He wants us to experience his intent, his desire, his nature. This is why when we look at the very basics of who he is, God, by his very nature, is a giver. There is so much of him, he can't contain it, always looking for room to expand. And one of the areas he wants to expand is into us. And the more we receive, the more we also want to give and expand. But as we see what he has in mind, he wants to share what he wants to do in your life. He wants to share with you what he wants to do on a variety of different planes. He wants to share with you why things have happened in your past, why things will happen in your future. Not because then you'll be responsible for them, or you'll know to do the right thing when the time comes, or to see all the mistakes you've made in your past. No, just so he can enjoy sharing things with you, because he loves you. That's who he is. He's a lover. He's a giver. And he wants you to experience that in reality. So we are drawn by necessity to ask God what we should do in certain circumstances. This is not a choosing to do the will of God, which is actually a way of strengthening the will, but actually subordinating, merging, overshadowing of our will by our spirit, which is in tune with God's will. Your will, my will, our soul will want to take control. When God says, for instance, I want you to learn to do this. I want you to learn to do sign language. And so we do learn to do sign language, and we think, okay, God did this, so I would be do sign language at church, or maybe have a career in it, doing it a job, and maybe make a living at it, when really all God wanted you to do was learn sign language, period. That was it. But we very often allow our will to take charge, to take control, being separate from God, from spirit. And we draw our own conclusions when we don't have enough information to do so. Now, there's nothing wrong with the will God gave you, or your mind, or your emotions. He gave you exactly the soul, the mind, will, and emotions that he wanted you to have. Now, some of us are strong-minded. Some of us are weaker-minded. Some of us are stronger-willed. Some of us are lesser-willed. Some of us are strong in passion, emotions. Some of us are weaker in passion or emotions. That has nothing to do with how much God values you. That was the way your soul is comprised, is God's gift to you. It's exactly what he wanted you to have. He doesn't want you to learn to rely on the strengths, and he doesn't want you to try to cover up the weaknesses. Now, that's from a spiritual standpoint. That's our relationship with God. We want to understand that when we look at our soul from a natural standpoint and a soulical standpoint, society values parts of our soul more than others. But we simply understand that. We don't have to try to change that. We don't have to fight against it. We simply understand that we are talking about two different things. Our relationship with God is one thing, and how we relate in the natural and in the supernatural is a whole different thing. The more we understand how God values our soul, specifically our will, we see every choice we make as an opportunity, instead of making the right choice, to be in the will of God, understanding that so spiritually we are in the will of God. Now that we're in the will of God, what choices shall we make? How will that manifest in our life? Our will itself, the will God gave you, is not changed. But it's overwhelmed part of the vessel, the wineskin, the conduit for the love and acceptance and value God wants to express to us and through us. The process of getting healed, which includes becoming freed from our flesh, our crutches, the lies we believe. The process of cultivating quietness and waiting is precisely what gradually accomplishes this reorientation in our lives as we daily learn to walk and live and move and have our very being according to the Spirit. We can look at Jesus' example of how he walked on this as a man. He didn't meet every need. He didn't heal everyone. He didn't raise every dead person. There was a timing and a circumstance, and he didn't come up with those on his own. He learned them from his Father, to the point where when he was challenged, "Lord, show us the Father," he could say, "Have you been so long with me that you don't know the Father?" And that's where we're looking. We want to be so in him, again, through waiting and cultivating quietness and letting him reveal himself to us, that we won't have to use words. We won't have to explain God. his presence and love be evident on its own. And one of the ways we get there is acknowledging that we have a desire to control our abilities to make wise decisions, and that's why we study divine guidance. So pick it up there next week and drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through this website or use the contact form on the site, therainersclub.org. Until then, this is Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great evening.